Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You don't know me, but I'm your bruh.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. You don't know me, but I'm your bruh.
Okay.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Okay.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Best one. Best
one. Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, November 11th, 2022. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners. This is for you.
Next to him is the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
You don't know me, but ayo.
Hey, you. And making the magic happen over yonder, having a bit of technical difficulties this morning, super producer JD.
Oh, that's all behind us.
Oh, nice. Good. Sorry for the late start to the stream teamers joining us live right now on YouTube. The system crashed. Hey, JD, that's what happened? Went down?
Went down, lost pretty much everything. Had to rebuild from scratch.
You did all that in 20 minutes. It's impressive.
Well, we were going to be late anyways, so.
Okay.
There's a lot in this show today.
You're damn right. It's a drop podcast. It's the end of the week.
Yeah.
What do you expect? It's fine. Guys, we had a great chat in the stream team. A bunch of weird questions and talking about jerseys and stuff like that. Hit the like button if you haven't. Subscribe, comment, share the show. At least we got that amazing cold open.
Oh, yeah.
That's too good. I've been waiting for that one for like a week. I keep asking JD every morning, when are we getting the Michael McDonald drop cold open? And we got it.
I was furious until that came on. Now I'm in a great mood.
You're in good mood. I know. Now we're all cheerful and stuff. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Send in your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can tweet them in, too. Twitter is still alive. At No Dunks Inc. INC. And follow us on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram at No Dunks Inc. On today's drop, it is chunky. It's a chunky one. We got Tass with the Worst of the Week nominees. Mm-hmm. We have the triumphant return of Five Star Friday.
Some good ones.
Where TK will take us through the best reviews from you, the people out there. We got Tweet of the Night, Rapid Fire Fun. We'll touch on last night's games pretty briefly. But first, hoo-hoo! The official NBA Nike City Edition uniforms, they dropped on Thursday. 29 of the 30 teams released new jerseys. The Jazz had to sit this one out after they overhauled their entire look over the summer. According to the press release, the theme this season focused on the stories, history, and heritage that make each NBA franchise unique. We are showing you all of the photos on one graphic for everybody on YouTube. All of these NBA City Edition jerseys. This is like the sixth year of doing these, which caught me by surprise.
Wow.
Yeah. But Tass, it's an obvious question. What's your favorite of the bunch? And then we'll get to our least favorites. But what do you got for your favorite?
I'm going with the Washington Wizards.
Okay, good pick. Good pick.
Yes. Listen, we'll do our best for the audio listeners to try and describe each jersey. And the simplest explanation for the Wizards jersey is that they're pink. But I don't even like calling them pink. I think that doesn't do them justice. I think they invented a new color. I've never seen this color before. It's a different shade of pink. They somehow found a different color on the color palette.
Okay, a cherry blossom pink, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it because there's cherry blossoms in the DC area. But does it even matter? Nah. There's cherry blossoms on the side panels of these jerseys.
Yep.
But that's really hard to notice when you're watching them and they played in them on Thursday night. They just stand out. Even when you look at the other 28 jerseys that have come out this year, they just really stand out. I don't usually like going with a jersey that's way far away from a team's color palette. Like they're just trying something new. But these are spectacular.
These should be their full-time jerseys, shouldn't they?
Yes. Yeah, the look is so much cleaner. Yeah, I picked these as my best new jersey coming into the season. They looked even better on the court. The court looks awesome with it. The blue is like barely lighter. The floor is really white. Yeah, these looked as good as anticipated. The shorts are awesome with the little ombre turn into blue down at the bottom. You're right. You can't really see the cherry blossoms, I don't feel like, on the court or on the uniforms, but you know it's there. These just look so good. I mean, the Wizards are like, I feel like they're halfway there on their jerseys in general. This is just such a cleaner and cooler look.
Yeah.
It's hard to go away from the red, white, and blue being in Washington, so I don't think they ever go fully this way, but it's pretty cool that these came out, whatever it was, March, April, along with...
That's true. We've known about these for a long time. Yeah.
But still, you know, usually, because in our world, if it's happened like 7 months ago, we're all over it.
Yeah.
That's so old. But surprisingly, these have staying power.
Yeah.
They're great. And the Washington Nationals baseball team also had their cherry blossom jerseys, which sort of, similarly to the side panels of these jerseys, they have blossoms on them, but you can't really see them unless you get up close and personal. They got stuck with the gray type jerseys, and you really have to look at the detail. These, again, this color. I mean, you got a sort of a pinky sweater.
Is this
on
a pink you've ever seen before?
It's dull pink. It's like a bit of a washed out.
Yeah,
look.
For sure.
But that's a nice pink.
I love it.
I can't even.
I love it. Nice pink. I love the jerseys. I love the court. My only small criticism. And I don't think we have a photo of it because I just thought of it now. You know, you got the logo of whoever is the sponsor for the arena on the court. I think it's Capital One Arena there in Washington. Why didn't they make the little red part of the Capital One logo flare, whatever you want to call it, the little circular part, make that pink too? Lean into it, Capital One. What are you doing? They left it red. So it just like, I don't know, red and pink kind of clash a little bit to me. So that's my only criticism. Otherwise, those are bangers. And I feel like universally loved these Cherry Blossom Wizards jerseys. And some of the gear or merch they had, too. They were talking to the designer last night on the broadcast, at least from the League Pass I was watching. And just the other stuff you could get from this. I guess they've had 8 months to work on it. So it looks awesome.
Yeah, and the matching floor, they didn't overdo it either, I don't think.
Just the paint being pink, yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yep, with the blue on it.
Not overdone.
End. Yep.
Also a good tweet to go along with it from the Wizards Twitter account. We're looking at it here on YouTube.
See what I mean? Let's just make that Capital One Arena little red flare thing. Yeah. Just make it pink.
Make it pink.
Easy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, I'm with you. And the blossoms along the baseline and the sideline. I've never seen a blossom in the D.C. area, but I guess they're there.
I would love to go with you one day.
In the fall.
Yeah, have a picnic underneath them.
Absolutely.
Trey, what do you have for best NBA City Edition jersey?
I think you've seen this shade before. It's a teal jersey from the San Antonio Spurs. Mm. You probably saw it at the 1996 All-Star Game, which was in San Antonio. Sure, the Western Conference team starring David Robinson was wearing white. Nonetheless, I do like the Spurs paying homage to the 96 All-Star Game. People love those jerseys. One of the best retro jerseys out there. In my book, and I think it's a pretty cool riff on that. I would have liked to see a pepper on there, personally.
Yeah.
Where my pepper at? but the Fiesta colors are great. I saw in a lot of the promo images, Jeremy Sohan has pink hair to go along with the pink trim here. So I hope he does that when they finally decide to wear these jerseys. I see he's had silver hair when they play in the Iceman jerseys, so my guess is yes. Though I guess he could go with a blonde as well. Nonetheless, looks very cool. And, you know, just like Tass is happy to see a pink out there, I love to see a teal jersey. More colors, the better.
Yeah. What do you think about the font with that? I saw people calling it, like, the Fred Flintstone font. Which is, like, at first it is a little jarring, but then the more I do like it, because it's just leaning into, like,
that's what it looked like.
The vibrant, yeah, exactly, and the vibe of that 96 All-Star game.
Yep.
That's a crazy two when you look at that.
It's a crazy two. Yeah, it's a wild two.
It's like a child drew out a backwards five.
And this is the last version of their Fiesta-themed City Edition jerseys, too. That's what I read about. So, yeah, they're going out with a bang here.
Nice.
Paying homage to that that legendary game. I also saw through the website, you shared a link, Trey. They're playing, the Spurs are, like, one last game in the Alamo Dome, this giant arena that they used to play in. They're going back in, like, January to, like, I believe try and set the NBA attendance record.
Huh.
I didn't know, like, first time I heard about this. Didn't know that. And I assume they'll be wearing these and they'll have the
court. They're definitely going to wear those. Yeah. Surely they'll have the court. But I would have scheduled it for more like November, personally.
Okay.
Just assuming that the Spurs are maybe not the hottest ticket in January.
Yeah.
Though there's maybe not a ton else you're doing.
Yeah, that's
in
a,
January.
That's
in
probably
San
the
Antonio.
Reason they're putting it.
They don't have a hockey team, you know.
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna sell tickets this way, which they probably wouldn't have, I guess.
Yeah, maybe that's the move.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Got to compete. Got to compete with Texas Stadium. Got to compete.
That's the stadium arena, I guess it is called, where they used to have the curtain, right? Like, they cut the damn thing in half. It was so big. So
I mean,
they're peeling back the curtain and just seeing if they can get, like,
yeah, the regular capacity is 70,000-ish, and for a basketball game, it's usually 20,000. So they do some sort of curtaining off, but apparently they won't, I guess, in January.
We'll see how many tickets they can sell. All right, great jerseys. I'll go with the Hawks for my favorite of the City Edition jerseys. This is cheating a little bit because this is just, like, a fresh take on their original Peachtree uniforms, which launched a couple years ago, but come on. Oh, we saw these in action last night, too. They're just gorgeous. They nailed every part of these, I think. You got the script font. You got the gradient numbering there. You got the different peach hues. I love them. And I think you guys are fans of these as well. It seemed like a lot of people were loving these. Like the first version and now these tweaked ones.
Yeah, this is a better version.
You think so?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the font reminds me of the show Atlanta a little bit.
Yep.
And yeah, it's this, the color, that the peach hues. There's something about every time you throw out a color like that, it's not too stark. They're just pretty, and it goes really well with the floor as well.
Yep. Yeah, I love the peach in the middle of the court with the Atlanta over the top of it. I will say, though, Peachtree is one word.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is one word. They put that at the bottom, right?
And when they had the previous jerseys, it said Peachtree in one word right across the chest.
What was it?
I mean, it's hard to figure out if it's one word or two words. There's hardly any peach trees around here.
Well, it's not even – it's. I mean, yeah, it's the peach state. But
no, but
I mean,
I'm saying every single road here is Peachtree Road.
Yeah, there's like
1,000 of them.
Yeah, there's literally 100 of them. the most in, I think, in the state, obviously, but – it's ridiculous. It's way too many. That's when I saw it, I thought, yeah, they're not paying homage to the street names, to the state, just to the tree, it feels like. Right?
Yeah, the tree's been forgotten. You're right.
I don't know.
The tree has been forgotten. We're all about the fruits in the streets.
Yeah.
Where you think the fruits come from.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I like the peach tree on the buckle as well.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little peach red on the buckle. that's cool.
Okay, so we like the Wizards. We like the Wizards. We like the Spurs. We like the Hawks. Let's get to the part that everyone really wants to hear. Worst NBA City Edition jerseys. There's a lot to pick from.
Yeah, but this is actually the best NBA City Edition jersey. The new Hornets look is actually unbelievable. They'll tell you that it says CLT on the front.
Yeah.
But I see a stripe going down the middle there, Skeets, in between the L and the T.
Yeah.
It says clit.
Yeah, it does. It does.
How in the world did this get approved? I understand that it's the airport code for Charlotte.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Honestly, a lot of people do know that. You would have to assume it has some sort of – I mean, there's like a PDX, right? Like,
yeah.
Nobody knows that that's Portland, but you'll figure it out. But this – I mean, come on. This is like – they did Cream City. They did Sactown.
Yep.
Now they got the Clit Hornets.
Yep.
Next up, Big D for Dallas.
There you go.
Get all four of them.
Yeah.
This is brutal. You're going to be laughed at as – every single time you wear this.
It's such a shame, too, because we love – I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we overall love the colors that they go with, like that mint.
Yeah,
we've seen
good.
Some of their other great jerseys that they've had. But, yeah this just decision to put CLT – like, I'll push back on that. Now, I'm a Canadian, so take me – you wouldn't have me in the survey, but ask 100 Americans for Charlotte's airport code. They're not – I don't know what – it's a low percentage saying CLT. They're going to say CHA. Way more likely, I think. They're not going to say CLT. They're not. So this is a strange decision. And also, yeah, it's clit.
I will say, though, men are too dumb to pick up on it. I mean, I saw the we are. We're too dumb to pick up on it.
I think it's 99% men saying this.
Yeah.
At least on Twitter. I mean, it's 99% men anyways. But.
Sure. It's a little nudge-nudge joke after a while, but most men didn't pick up on it at first. We just don't know where it is.
You don't know where it is?
Where the clit is? No.
I'm shocked that so many people have been tweeting that and admitting it.
They don't exist.
I mean, I only know what.
anyway, I was we had it going in the video being playing here in the in the Classic Factory yesterday, and everyone was it took me forever to find just get the joke. Now I'm part of the club. Now I get it. I still don't know where it is. But.
What do you think of the actual jerseys and the decision to go with CLT?
Who knows?
You don't like it, or you do like it?
Well, the colors are odd. Just like forget about the CLT part. The gold part. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, okay. If they were teal to match the trim.
Mint.
Mint, sure. pardon me. Yeah. If they were mint, then I'd say those are mint jerseys.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, the gold. Now they're getting too far away. You're right. Like I was saying about the Wizards one, sometimes a lot of these jerseys, even the Jazz jerseys, they go way too far from their color palette. They'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them screw up, and I think this one did as well.
Okay, what do you have then, if you had to pick another one here?
I'm going with the Philadelphia 76ers City of Brotherly Love
jerseys. Whoa, I disagree.
I think the sizing is the biggest issue. It's so weird. It's like somebody started a Photoshop here, and you know they add all their elements, and they added the City of Brotherly Love script, and you know how everything is sort of way out of whack to start when you add stuff to your... to your Photoshop. They just left it. It's way too small. That script, the font is way too small. The number is in the way. Get it? It's so stupid. And it's also missing the advertisement, the patch that is going to be on the jerseys as well to make it even noisier.
Oh, I see.
So get rid of the number. The number shouldn't be there. Go big with your City of Brotherly Love. It's simple. I guess it's an homage to, you know, the old Philadelphia jerseys, but I just have a problem with the sizing, and okay, it's a lot of text in the end for a tiny little size.
I like it. I think it's really unique. Obviously, that crazy little font. I guess I hear what you're saying.
You throw a script on there, everybody's like, whoa, I love script.
I do.
Okay, same. Yeah, I'm like, that looks like handwritten almost, too.
Yeah.
That's what I like, but... I think you're onto something because, as Ziggy mentions here in the stream team, the Sixers do love to leave a lot of belly space. There is a blank patch there just to show off your belly.
Yeah. Okay. City of Brotherly Love gets thumbs down from Tass. And I'll finish it off here. My worst NBA City Edition jersey. I'm going to go with OKC. It's the Thunder jersey. This is the definition of the meme where the guy's holding a stick... and it just says, come on, do something. Do something, OKC. I like the orange down the side, sure. That burnt orange. I love that color. But this is so boring. And you have one of the coolest guys in the league in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, if he ever leaves OKC, heaven forbid, I'm going to blame it on your terrible jersey designs. Because, man, this guy's on, like, fashion runways in Paris. And you look at his IG account, he's wearing the craziest things, and he somehow pulls them off. But this is just boring. And I feel like they've done this jersey, like, four times already. They just, like, changed one little color. And that's it. So, not a fan. I just think they're just so... it's just nothing to me. Come on.
Is it just their regular white jersey turned black?
That's what I think.
It's hard to tell, but yeah, pretty much. We hear a lot of stories. Like, I know Damian Lillard was involved in designing the Trailblazers uniform that has the pinwheel on the front of it. Let Shai help out.
Totally.
Guy's got great taste. He's got an eclectic style. Like, he ain't picking this.
No.
He's not picking just turn it black.
Yeah, he's going to do something unique. Mm-hmm. Try something. Like, sometimes, some of these jerseys over the last couple of years, some of these City Edition jerseys, whatever jerseys from Nike, we go, whoa, 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 okay, that's insane. Like, what are you doing? But at least you're taking a stab at something unique. Thunder just like, nah, we don't want to try.
Yeah, they didn't go for it. They didn't go for it. You're right, the side panels are the best part.
I mean, yeah, I wish, like, that burnt orange, I know they have versions of that color a little more prominent, but, like, you could get a little more creative with that.
At least outline the letters with the
that burnt looks orange. Weird though, the stroke, yeah, or whatever you call it,
yeah,
on the blue font.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that. I don't know what that design is on the side panel on that burnt orange. It kind of reminds me of like a Baroque design, but anyways, it's cool. Outline the numbers with it. Yeah, it's simple. And you mentioned the Portland ones. Those are in the good category for me.
The PDX with the carpet.
Yeah, the Portland carpet. Now, as you said, some people don't know what PDX is, so they're confused to start. Mm-hmm. But if you know the carpet, you love the carpet. You got to love the carpet. I love the carpet. I like how they threw it on. I know it's just a strip on the jersey, but yeah. I'm surprised that it's never been on a jersey.
I mean, they've been on Damian Lillard's shoes before.
True.
You got to assume he'll be wearing those, even though he's Adidas.
They had a plaid jersey for one of these, right? They love a pattern.
Sure do. All right, that's enough time on the City Edition jerseys. We'll have some more YouTube shorts on our thoughts on some of the other jerseys, but let's hear from you guys. You guys are chiming in the stream team right now. Your favorites and your least favorites when it comes to those new 29 jerseys, or at least the official looks at the 29 jerseys, because a lot of these have been leaked. We've known for a very long time.
I like how
time.
You keep saying 29, because there's only...
That is weird.
Well, they
just held out.
Well, they didn't. Well, I guess they didn't hold out. It's just like the NBA has a rule, believe it or not, that you can't just have a new jersey every week, even though it feels like it at times. They had their whole rebrand, and they were not allowed to drop a new city. That's why.
The Cavs did, though. The Cavs have completely new jerseys, and they also have a city edition. So that's kind of weird to me. I actually kind of like the Cavs. It has that font that says the land on it.
Yeah, it's unique. Yeah. Definitely unique. Is that because the Jazz, like, rehauled all of their jerseys?
So did the Cavs.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. Interesting.
Maybe they just were, we're good. As you can tell from the jerseys we just released, we have no ideas what to do. So we'll sit this one out.
Well,
maybe it's that.
The City Edition from a couple of years ago, I guess, was that purple throwback to the
Karl
Malone era.
The mountain one,
The mountain one that they're using this year.
Yeah.
So it's the same one. They just repeated it, I think.
Okay, maybe they just beat everybody to the punch when it comes to this. Okay, games last night. Hey, every team that wore their new City Edition jerseys last night, they won. Undefeated in these new threads. Kuzma scored 36 to lead the Cherry Blossom Wizards. Past the Mavericks, 113-105. Any thoughts on this one? We'll move with some pace on these games. They were all fine, entertaining, but nothing like, whoa, we got to do 20-minute deep dives on these. But what do you think of the Wiz win?
Well, definitely disappointed to start with. No Beal and nor Porzingis against his old team. I thought we'd be seeing him up against the Mavs, but... Then the Cherry Blossoms came out, and I was pleased, and Luka was picking apart the Washington Wizards to start. He wasn't even shooting the ball. They were just doubling him, and he was easily finding guys. And it looked great from the Mavericks' side, even though they didn't have Christian Wood. But then it got worse as the game went on. They just couldn't find a way to score. And the worry is Luka's getting worse as the games go on here, because stats here from... the first quarter to the fourth quarter throughout the start of the season here for Luka Doncic, he's shooting 53% in both the first and second quarters, then 48% in the third quarter, and then 36% in the fourth quarter. From three-point land, similar story, 35% and 35% in the first two quarters, then 28%, then 17%. Their offensive rating has dropped from first to 11th because they've had a couple bad games, but there's just a lot on his shoulders every single quarter. So... it would have been nice to have Christian Wood out there to score 25 like he's been dropping whenever he wanted. And I think that was the tail of the tape in this one, because as Kevin Durant said recently, I mean, you just have to worry about Luka Doncic, and you don't have to worry about the other guys dribbling the ball as much as Spencer Dinwiddie tried to help out.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on this one, TK?
Yeah, no Wood, I think, is really the difference here. Somebody else has got to score here. No surprise that the Mavericks would have their two worst offensive games when they're missing their second leading scorer. But what a game from Kuzma. 36 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. The guy's having a great season. Kyle Kuzma's become a really, really good player. Like, almost a foundational piece for the Wizards, I think. Maybe they would throw him in a trade if somebody made the right sort of offer. But he goes out there. You don't think of him as, like, a go-to scorer, but he certainly does. 14 to 26 last night, and like you're saying, Skeets, he thrives in the pink, man. The guy is made to wear pink. So I would be willing to bet that Kyle Kuzma will be the leading scorer for the Wizards anytime they wear the pink jerseys.
Wow.
Something to track for the rest of the season.
I like that. My only thoughts on this game are, just to piggyback off the Luka struggling, and now another game where he didn't crack the 30-point mark. I mean, that's the bar we have this guy at now. Oh, he didn't score 30. What's wrong with him? But over the last two games, shooting 17 of 50 from the floor, 5 of 19 from deep, and 7 of 16 at the free throw line, too. So, you know, Jason Kidd is talking about it after the game. He's asked to do a lot. And is it not just maybe like a bit of a physical burden, but maybe more of even a mental one? just having to do everything through him, and now being 10 or 11 games in, that it's caught up to him a little bit. It's possible, but he is missing Christian Wood, and that was huge. Also, this was unfortunate. You said no Beal, no Porzingis, but also no Bertans for the Mavericks on Latvian Heritage Night in Washington. Both of the guys, both of our Latvian stars in this league, Bertans and Porzingis, not
the laser
playing.
And the unicorn both.
Man, that's tough. That's tough.
Did Dyrus Bertans get a
I don't know.
Call last night? Shout out to all the Latvians out there.
Why haven't they done something with the lasers and the unicorn, like in some sort of photo mashup? Like, I know it's. I'm just thinking, sure. Lasers and unicorns, they go so well together. Mm.
Put it on a City Edition jersey.
Yeah.
Get them on the same team.
It'll work. Actually, the Wizards put up a graphic of all the games that they're going to be wearing their Cherry Blossom jerseys during this game, and I thought, those are the games I'm going to watch them.
So those are the games it sounds like we should be hitting the prop bet on Kyle Kuzma.
Kuzma over.
Hit
for
the
sure.
Over. Yeah. Yeah. And Rui Hachimura, I thought you'd bring him up. He had a really, really good game. He was super aggressive last night.
Yeah, I'm not getting too hot on Rui. I love him, but I don't want to get too excited. Yeah, he looked ridiculously athletic, agile, some of those finishes.
Yeah. He had like an really MJ-like cool. Finish with a double clutch pump up and under. Yeah, good finish from him. Jimmy Butler scores 35 as the Heat hold off the Hornets 117-112 in overtime. What do you think?
The ugliest game in history. Okay, I'm going too far.
I wouldn't say that.
No.
Did you watch the Hawks-Sixers game?
Yeah, we're going to get to that for sure. Jimmy had to come back and save the day as they relinquished their fourth quarter lead, and that's the story. He didn't have Tyler Hero beside him either, but it feels like Jimmy has had a lot to do. I know Bam had a solid game because he's Bam Adebayo. There's a lot on Jimmy's shoulders here. Tyler's supposed to take the pressure off him, and so is Kyle Lowry, and Kyle Lowry's just having an okay year. This is a team that should be smacking teams like the Charlotte Hornets, it feels like, right? Without LaMelo Ball and without him for the entire season so far, and Terry Rozier is supposed to be carrying them. They got shots wherever they wanted. It feels like the Heat are they're not clicking whatsoever. I know Jimmy got them to the line, got them over the line.
Jimmy won them this game in the end, especially to get them into overtime.
That shouldn't be happening here for a 53-win team last year. I know there's new parts, but still.
Did you see the Kelly Oubre Jr. Travel call late in this game too? You know, around half court, just inbounded the ball and sort of switches his pivot feet, just moves them.
Yep.
Whoop, travel. Which it was.
It was a travel.
But wow. Very inconsequential. Like, he's not going. He's not tacking, not doing anything. What do you think of that one?
I think that that's what happens when you miss the Tyler Hero call and the Jeremy Grant call. You get some sort of edict from the league office.
Yeah.
We got to keep our eye on those travels out there. And that's why Kelly Oubre gets called for a travel 35 feet from the basket. Point of emphasis season is honestly, it's just brutal. It's the worst. That wouldn't be a travel in a month. So tough one for the Hornets, but maybe you can win in a month when they don't call it.
Yeah. It reminded me of having watched the Redeem team, it reminded me of what was going on in the Spain-U.S. game in the gold medal where the American team, let's say, is Dwayne Wade, gets the ball in the backcourt. He starts walking before putting the ball on the floor. Spanish team jumps up out of their seats on the bench. What was that? Because in Europe, it's called that.
Yeah.
And I agree with Trey. You can't just start doing it now. maybe at the beginning of the season, if you want to call it like you used to call it when everyone was playing grade school, when they picked up their ball, maybe, but that's a huge change. Mm-hmm. Like those ones that don't matter.
Right.
You got to call the Tyler Hero one.
Yeah. It's different on the shot for sure. This is like, he wasn't even really that pressured.
No,
it was just, he did travel. He technically traveled. He switches his pivot foot or picks it up, but yeah, it's like, doesn't really have any impact on the play of what's about to happen. What? Bang, going the other way.
And
then, look, Terry Rozier, there was some contact from Jimmy Butler closing out in the corner. They did a really aggressive, great job, kept his hand straight up. Terry Rozier thought he was bumped enough to then flail and like try and chuck it in the corner and like hit the side of the backboard. He probably should have just focused on, hey, just take the shot still. Give yourself a chance at least to hit that corner three. But he was pissed that he didn't get the call there too. So they got the short end of the whistle on this one. And the Heat just pulled it out. They needed that win too. Like, the record is not all that great, and you're against the Hornets team missing some of their guys. But Jimmy got them there. Holy man, he hit some tough buckets.
He won them the game in Sacramento, basically. I think, right, it was Hero who hit the game winner, but Jimmy was awesome down the stretch in that one. 7 straight losses, though, for the Hornets. They were 3-3.
Yeah.
Now they're 3-10.
They are plucky when you watch them.
They play hard.
They do play hard.
And they make you play their game. You're going to play fast. Like, and that was, I thought, throwing the Heat off a little bit, but they just don't have the talent right now.
No, no. Trae Young helps the Hawks pull away in the second half, beat the 76ers 104-95. This one was pretty gross to watch.
Yeah.
12 three-pointers made combined, 6 from each. 6 for 30, the Sixers, 6 for 26, the Hawks. That's
yeah.
Pretty rare in today's NBA game.
Totally.
So not a lot of threes being made, but Trae was awesome in the first quarter, and then they, you know, they picked it up there. The Sixers were hanging around, and then they took care of business in the second half.
Yeah, I shouldn't have called Charlotte-Miami the ugliest game in whatever I said. It was ugly, but not even close to the ugliness of this game. Yeah, there was a lot of shots being chucked. They got up to a bad percentage, but it was even worse to start. They were missing to start. But then the Hawks picked it up when Joel Embiid went to the bench. That was the story of the game. In the third quarter, when Joel picked up his fourth foul, they decided, Doc Rivers did, all right, let's sit him. The Hawks went on a 25-11 run, and that was the end of it, really. Mm-hmm. The Sixers could not find a way to score. And they, listen, I love the defensive intensity against Joel Embiid from Okongwu and Clint Capella. I love it. They play hard against Joel Embiid, but they couldn't shoot. This was a game that they missed James Harden absolutely.
Yeah, Maxey a rough night in this one. 5 of 17 for him, and then you have two other guys like Tucker and Melton doing really nothing in the starting lineup. Embiid was good. I mean, he had a lot of turnovers. He got in foul trouble. He looked like classic frustrated, sort of slumped shoulders Joel Embiid at times, but then still puts up 26 and 13 and is like a plus 10 in this game. You know, that's what's going on with this team. But the Sixers, 5-7 as well, Trey, which is of course disappointing with everybody thinking they might, we thought they might like run away with the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're far from that right now.
You guys want to do an emergency podcast later?
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we might be looking at a new coach of the Philadelphia 76ers in not too long. This is a disappointing start. And like you're saying, it feels very similar to the Timberwolves, where they're just not giving a full effort out there. This was really the bench brought them back into this game late in the fourth quarter, actually made it close, because it was a 20-point lead for the Hawks heading into the fourth. But Montrezl Harrell just kept going to the line. Doc said the plan was always to bring the starters back in if the game got close. The bench got it close, and then the starters came back in and did nothing. Joel Embiid had more turnovers than made baskets in the fourth quarter, and I think that kind of tells you how the Sixers are going right now. So maybe Harden's injury kind of provides a little cover for Doc right here, and they give him a little bit more of a leash to figure things out. But this is a pretty bad start, and pretty much the exact wrong start, I feel like, for the Sixers as well. If they were playing hard and looked like a good together team and still taking tough losses, fine. But they don't look like they're playing hard.
Totally agree. I thought the only thing I'd be thinking about with Doc Rivers was that Trae Young passed him on the all-time Hawks scoring list for 16th yesterday. Doc put up some points.
He sure did.
He hit that all-star game once upon a time. But yes, I thought Doc was just going to roll with the bench guys the rest of the game because they definitely brought them back. But they have, it's a game-to-game. The effort changes from game-to-game, and Joel Embiid, we thought he would be turning it around. He said after the Philadelphia Phillies season was done that he'd turn it around. He had the one good game since returning from the flu, but the second game, even though the raw numbers are good, he did turn it over a ton, and wasn't great, Joel.
Clint Capella scored 18 points and grabbed 20 rebounds.
That's a lot of roast beef.
It was his 24th career 20-rebound game, which is the fourth most such games among active players. You want to do a little trivia? Can you name the three guys, active players, that have more 20-rebound games?
Gobert.
Correct. He has 26.
Drummond.
He has 88.
Whoa, 88?
That's ridiculous.
Who else is beefing hard out there?
This is the toughest one, I would think, just to remember. This guy is on a roster,
Currently rostered?
Yeah.
Dwight Howard? No.
He's in Taiwan, man.
Yeah, wrong country.
He just touched down.
Wrong country.
Yeah.
On a roster.
Yeah. He shouldn't be.
DeAndre Jordan?
There it is.
Nice.
60 for DeAndre Jordan. Statitudes coming through with that that great trivia question. It's a new Substack that I'm a fan of, especially if you like trivia questions. Final game, Jeremy Grant, Blazers win again on the road, baby. 106-95 over the Pelicans. No Dame, no Nurk, No sharp even. And they take care of business here. This is a really, really solid win. This team's playing some defense, baby. I believe they're top 10 in defensive rating, which is a huge jump up for the Blazers. Going with a little small ball, Justice Winslow at the five. Eubanks coming in there, taking a charge every once in a while. Guys contributing and playing hard. And that's a good win where Grant, you know, is going sort of toe-to-toe with a guy like Brandon Ingram, Zion out there, and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll start from the Pelican side for me, because I was I'm a little disappointed with the way things are rolling there. CJ McCollum was sort of their point guard, their number one guy to start the season, with Brandon Ingram out, Zion out as well, and they're continuing to go with that, and Zion's not getting the ball in the perimeter. Zion's not being Zion enough. Zion's getting the ball in the post too much. His line is fine, but CJ's got to come off the ball as well. He's turned it over five times in this game because of it, I think. You mentioned Justice Winslow in for Yusuf Nurkic, playing center, playing small ball. I would like to see some more Jonas Valanciunas in this game. He only played 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. They used to go to him a lot. They used to just throw the ball to him. That was mainly because Zion Williamson wasn't out, but they should have been able to take advantage of Justice Winslow, as much as I love my Justice, and he had a really good game and plays way bigger than his size.
Yeah.
That's what Jonas Valanciunas is in this league for. So they went small to try and match. They go small with Zion Williamson at the five or Larry Nance at the five, and it didn't work in this one, and I think you're being a little stubborn with the rotations and not getting back to their best rotations, and they're not playing the rookie and Dyson Daniels, who would help. They just were getting blown by over and over and over again, and Devontae Graham should probably be sitting for Dyson Daniels, I think. People are scared to play rooks, but he would be great out there. So disappointing, but obviously Chauncey Billups got these guys working on the other side.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Blazers going into New Orleans getting the win?
Blazers are fifth in defense right now.
Fifth?
That's ridiculous.
Hell yeah.
This was a guys being dudes win. No Dame out there, so everybody else stepped up. It was pretty impressive. Five guys in double digits. Jeremy Grant has taken his game to another level. It's, he wasn't didn't have enough to do in Denver. Probably had a little bit too much to do in Detroit.
Yeah.
This is the perfect spot for him. This was kind of death by back cuts, I thought. There were so many times when the Pelicans were just ball watching. Zion a lot of it, if I'm being quite honest.
Yep.
And somebody would just cut to the hole. And the Blazers were playing for each other out there, and they knew that without Lillard there to handle a huge chunk of possessions, it was going to have to be a ball movement kind of game, and they really went for it. And I thought it was an incredible performance by the Blazers to be able to play a small ball game against a team that's pretty big when you really look at the Pelicans, with Zion and Valanciunas out there, and then Brandon Ingram obviously has incredible length. So good stuff from the Blazers to get that dub.
6-1 on the road, the Blazers are right now. 9-3 overall, so obviously near the top of the West. Top 5 defensive rating. And they're adding Gary Payton II still to this roster when he eventually comes back, who's known for playing some defense. So really, really strong win. Nasir Little, a little love to him too. He was really good off the bench in 24 minutes. Billups, you know, some of the guys injured, of course, but he kept this short rotation. This is like a playoff rotation here with like only 8 guys getting any burn. Really 7. If you take away the Walker's 8 minutes, but Nasir Little with 15 points, he had some bounce. He was feeling himself last night. He was being really aggressive. So 6 of 11 from the floor for him.
That's why it's always kind of ridiculous to evaluate a coach when they have a bad season. Everybody, you know, proclaiming Chauncey Billups having a bad year last year. He didn't have guys.
No.
And I was buying into him being sort of a motivational type guy last year. But you just never know. We're on the outside. It's hard to really know. And now he's doing it. To be 5-1 or 6-1 on the road, that's a good coach,
yep.
I imagine.
Yep. Some news here, injury news. LeBron James, day-to-day with the left adductor strain. Now he is officially out for tonight's game against the Kings. And then we don't know about Sunday against the Nets. If I'm guessing, I assume he'll miss that one as well. But for the schedule-wise, for the Lakers, they're pretty good because they don't play another game after that one on Sunday until Friday, November 18th. The Lakers just have all week off next week, which is just weird. So, like, LeBron could miss 2 games if he misses tonight and Sunday and maybe make it back that next Friday, which is so he's like 8 days here to rehabilitate this injury that he says isn't as extreme as the last one.
It's true that he'll only miss 2 games, but they have to win every game. And Kings game is winnable, and Nets are playing a lot better. You know, we went through the schedule. The next 9 games are the games where they have to swing the season around. This 9-game stretch is the season. It really is. So yeah, it's not as bad as 4 years ago when LeBron hurt his groin. That seems like he's not going to miss 17 games. But we also were sitting there thinking during that stretch, thinking, oh, he's coming back soon.
Yeah.
He's coming back soon. It didn't end up happening. He's obviously near 38 now, so it's different. But he also is near 38 now, so he's going to miss some time here. And every win is really important. They're 2-9.
This is how bad it is for the Lakers. They are reportedly looking at Tony Snell, Joe Wieskamp, maybe Mo Harkless. I think they already maybe worked him out. they need some wing help here. That's what the point is.
Yikes.
Darren Collison's going to be watching games soon like he was a couple of years ago. Front row seat.
Two tweets to put it in perspective. The Lakers' rough start here. Damon R. The Lakers are 2-9 at 7 games under 500 on November 10th. Or 11th now today. Last year's disastrous Lakers weren't 7 games under 500 until they lost game 63 of the season on March 5th, dropping them to 28-35 at the time. And then this one from at Pickup Hoop. Teams that started 2-9 or worse in NBA history. There's been 161 of them.
Name them all.
How many do you think went on to just make the playoffs of 161 that started 2-9 or worse?
Single digits.
It's a little bit more than that. 13.
Okay.
Only 5 had a winning record. So some of those that were making it in with like the sub 400,
sure,
sub 500,
44 yeah, or something.
And only 1 won a playoff series. Again, just putting into perspective this. Very,
who was it?
Very
brutal. Who won a playoff series?
Idea.
Okay. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Rough. Also bad. The Raptors, Precious Achiuwa, out indefinitely with an ankle injury. Partial ligament tears in his right ankle during Wednesday's win over the Rockets. This was my concern, Tassie. That big guy was not putting any weight while he was hobbling out of the back. And he's going to be out here, I think, for a while. He's at least going to be in a walking boot for 10 days, and then they'll reassess. Siakam already out. Scottie Barnes has a nagging ankle injury. And now this, Precious Achiuwa, who, not that he was playing well.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing, Skeets.
A little more Thad Young, a little more Otto Porter. Maybe Boucher gets going a little bit more.
And Precious watches. Precious watches, and he understands maybe I don't ball stop the way I have been recently and be part of the team a little bit more. I'm just trying to be.
He's such a good defensive player still,
so
though.
Good, so
I mean,
good.
He struggled offensively. He still gives you 9-7 in like 20 minutes per game. He doesn't get a lot of burn, but defensively, he's like, for a big guy, he can hold his own on, you know, smaller wing guys on the perimeter and can obviously like take care of the glass and stuff, but. Yeah, I think maybe it is. Maybe it is a blessing in disguise just sitting there beside the coaching staff and taking it all in. And I think, if anything, Thad Young will get a chance to have more minutes here. And he's the ultimate glue guy that we've seen for a long time in his career. So maybe he helps unlock something here for the Raps.
Yeah, I think Thad Young has had an impact in the Raptors games that I've watched, even in limited minutes. So certainly he'll be able to step in there. I guess the only good news here is that Fred VanVleet will probably be an all-star again. With Siakam going down, with Achiuwa going down, they need everything from VanVleet. He's been great this week. Like
he's averaging like 30 a game,
I think. Yeah, when the Bulls beat him, it was like VanVleet was keeping them in the game completely. But that means he will continue to be a high minutes guy, a high usage guy, at least until Siakam is back, I would say. So, I don't know. The Raptors are going to have to dig deep on the bench. They're going to have to play some guys that Nick Nurse doesn't really want to play. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of survive this stretch with two of their top 6 in minutes going out, they just got to, like, try Wancho, you know?
Oh, it's Bo Cruz time.
Exactly. Try Wancho. I guess Kem Birch is out as well now. Yeah. I saw Malachi Flynn had like a 70-point game in the summertime. Can he score in the NBA? Or is it just when he's playing in Seattle? I don't know. We got to give – the Raptors got to give some guys a little bit of run here. Even if they stink, even if they lose a few games. Nick Nurse is a little bit of a Tom Thibodeau. Where he plays his guys tons and tons and tons of minutes to maximize the regular season. Then they get to the postseason. Maybe they don't have the second gear necessarily. I think that's what happened last year. So, I don't know. If they just keep picking up little ticky-tack injuries, it's going
to
be a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take our first break. And when we come back, Worst of the Week nominees and 5-Star Friday Fun. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, back in the Classic Factory, let's get to Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give you four nominees. You guys tell me which one is the absolute worst of all those nominees. Although I will say, off the top here, we could have just given it to the Minnesota Timberwolves because they had two situations where they just forgot to play basketball. Lack of attention here. And let's take you through both of those. First nominee is Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves because he just fell asleep during a possession where he was on the perimeter. If you're watching here on YouTube, he's just standing here close to the bottom of the screen with his hands on his hips. You don't usually see that for a full possession. Now, I will say, he almost forgets to get back there for a second. I will say his defender is attached to him the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
So he is doing his job of gravity, just standing out there. He's pulling one guy away. Yeah, then he doesn't go for the rebound. But you just don't see a guy go double teapot for an offensive possession and do nothing.
So what's the message there? Pissed off with what they're running? That he's not involved?
We're running here.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would say.
I don't think, my point is, I don't think he's zoned out. Yeah. Like I know maybe the next one we're going to get to. I think that was a frustration pose,
a little bit
teapot
of a protest.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, not saying that's good.
No, it's not good.
Maybe even worse.
Yeah, the entire situation there in Minnesota, not good.
No.
Starting 5-7 because guys aren't on the same page, because guys are angry. This was supposed to be Anthony Edwards' breakout year.
Yeah,
this is year three for him. His numbers are fine, they're basically the same as last year, but I thought he would be a first year all star. So far, so bad in the entire Timberwolves locker room. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to our second nominee, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards' backcourt partner. This is amazing. It really is. I know we talked about it on Thursday's show, but he just failed to check into a game. His teammate.
I've seen the baseline angle.
Yeah,
like
this, courtesy of our man John
Schumann. There he is.
So Jalen Noel shoots a free throw, his teammate, and they start going back on defense. The hilarious part is Jalen Noel is guarding campaign up top by the midcourt line, and D'Angelo Russell is yelling things from the scorer's table. He's yelling things at Jalen Noel, like, play some defense. But he forgets that he's supposed to be in the game, so they play the whole possession. They give up an offensive rebound, and D'Angelo Russell has still not checked into the game. They played 4-on-5, and I think that is unprecedented in the NBA. Like, okay, there's a 5-on-4 possession sometimes because a guy falls, but we've been doing this a while. I can't think of something similar to that where a guy just doesn't check in. Maybe he got screwed up because Jalen Noel only shot one free throw and he was waiting for the second one. I can't even logically come up with something. It's stupid what I'm saying right now.
It's rare to see it that long. That's the thing. Because here's the thing. The Wolves actually play like decent defense.
They're
only
scrambling.
Having four guys out there. Yeah, they're trying to get up to the shooters.
Doesn't look like 5-on-4.
And then the rebound happens. And then, he finally comes in after the second attempt that they splash. But it's just how long it is that he hasn't figured it out, that nobody on the bench has figured it out, be it a player or an assistant coach or the coach himself, Chris Finch. I don't know, a fan on the broadcast, somebody screaming, we need a fifth
guy
out
there.
Yeah. So.
I watching it back over and over and over, some weird stuff happening. I do think an assistant coach, Mike Inori, was saying something. Mike Inori was saying, hey, over there, like pointing. But I think it was so strange, such a unique situation that even Chris Finch didn't think that they're playing 5-on-4. And they're playing really well, too. So it is strange. Yeah. Russell is like a cheerleader on the sideline. They're barking out instructions.
Yeah.
It's.
You're right. Yeah. Finch isn't looking. Finch is like watching the action and trying to coach, and maybe he doesn't even realize
no.
they only got four guys. But Mike Inori is pointing like, hey, we got a guy over there.
Yeah, so assistant coach Mike Inori, he did his job. He's keeping his job, but the rest of it, that's their assistant coach's job, I think. I don't know whose job it
Count
is.
Count the guys on the floor.
In watching it again, yeah. Jaden McDaniels figures out at some point there's only four of us out
here.
He's
the first one.
He's like, because he does a rotation where obviously somebody goes to the corner to try and get the shooter, and then he comes into the paint a little bit, and he's like, yeah. He's like, hold on, what the hell? How am I supposed to get both these guys? Where's our fifth guy? It looks like for a second he maybe even sees D'Angelo Russell like off and is like, okay, well, I guess we're going to give up points on this possession.
Yeah, Minnesota playing 4-on-5 there for a bit. They are pretty close to Canada. They're even more north of Toronto. Maybe they're used to playing hockey.
Oh, shorthanded.
Power play.
Oh, power play. All right, next nominee here. We'll keep this one quick because I know we're all sort of tired of talking about this situation. This is more of an update than anything, but mm-hmm. The third nominee is Kyrie Irving and Nike. Nike announced it was suspending its relationship with Irving because he promoted an anti-Jewish movie. Nike will no longer launch the Kyrie 8. But in an interview with CNBC, Phil Knight said Nike is done with Irving, most likely.
Yeah.
The door is open. The door is definitely open. So, to me, I'm throwing this in there, number one, to give everyone an update if they didn't know, but also, this is just another lingering part of the situation. Kyrie didn't apologize very swiftly. The league didn't act very swiftly, and now Nike's not acting all that swiftly either. They did come out and say they're suspending it, but it's just another relationship, I should say. It's going to linger. It's like the cranberries. This thing is going to linger for a bit. Sorry.
Well, we've also had some players chiming in here about the Kyrie suspension. LeBron tweeted, I told you guys that I don't believe in sharing hurtful information, and I'll continue to be that way, but Kyrie apologized and he should be able to play. That's what I think. It's that simple. Help him learn, but he should be playing. What he's asked to do to get back on the floor, I think, is excessive, IMO, in his opinion, LeBron here. He's not the person that's being portrayed of him. And then Pelicans guard CJ McCollum, president of the National Basketball Players Association, I'll say it that way.
Just say the whole thing. I know. Me too.
Said the conditions are asking a lot, throw that in air quotes, from Irving. It's a lot to ask of someone who's already said they're sorry, who's already showed empathy, who's already given his money. That's CJ McCollum saying that. And if you don't know, he's done four of his five games in the suspension. And as part of it, the team has outlined like these six steps needed for his reinstatement, including a public statement recognizing the film as anti-Semitic, an apology for supporting the film and the falsehoods within it, training sessions on the dangers of hate speech, and a couple other things here. Like this is what their list is. Check them all off, and then you'll be back. He's met with Silver, Kyrie has. And Silver, you know, defending him, I guess is the best way to put him. He said he is not an anti-Semitic person, and he's learning, and we're moving on from here. But it sounds like Silver and the Nets are ultimately going to decide when and if he can return. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts on LeBron sort of chiming in here. I know Jaylen Brown has said some things as well. And, of course, CJ McCollum. What do you think?
The fact that it's LeBron, a major power player in the league, and CJ McCollum, an executive in the Players Association, that are the guys coming out in support of Kyrie makes me think that the union is probably gearing up for a fight with regards to these regulations or this list of requirements that Kyrie is going to have to complete before he's allowed to come back to the team. So I don't know. It feels like we're just going to get some more Kyrie Irving drama out of this.
Yeah, and I bring the whole Nike thing up and the fact that it's still going on because part of it of why they're sort of this whole thing is negative and this whole thing deserves a worst of the week is because it's gone on too long. The fact is, yes, he's been given a list by the Brooklyn Nets organization to complete some sort of requirements. I disagree with CJ McCollum. It's not an extensive list.
I agree 100%.
It's not too much to ask a human being to be decent. And this whole thing is just, It's just going on way too long. It should have been nipped in a bud by Kyrie himself. Kyrie is obviously the one who's at fault. But
yeah, he defiantly refused to apologize.
Yeah.
And then by all accounts, he ghosted on his Josiah and meeting him and stuff like that as well.
He dug in over and over and over again, and now people are coming to his aid. Well, all he has to do is complete a checklist. It's not too much to ask.
No. Which would be, you know, similar to things that anyone would have to do in the workplace were something like this to arise, where you have to take training or take courses. Yeah. And, you know, like, it's, yeah, I disagree with LeBron and McCollum here and saying, like, he's done it all. You just let him play now. It's like, well, they're not asking for everything here.
And, yeah, he did.
Look, they're, it's a union. They're sticking up for their guy. I get that part of it all. Maybe it's a slippery slope. I don't know, but it didn't need to get to this. That's the, like you said, that's the whole point of it.
Anyways, all right, let's move on. Last nominee, a little bit on the lighter side, Meek Mill. He was sitting courtside at a Sixers game, and the rapper stuck out his feet. He was lounging, legs out, sort of getting close to the sideline, where the referees like to run up and down the floor, so referees following the play, and he bites it. He trips over Meek Mill's legs because they are stretched out. He hits his feet. And, yeah, Meek Mill's not on the court or anything, but it's getting close. And this referee falls down, and it's a real curb.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw Larry David do this once upon a time.
So pretty funny. Meek Mill pulled back, and everything was
apologized.
Okay. Doc got him up. I don't know who that referee was. But
Referee Brent Bernanke.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to guess what his favorite meal is?
Oh, boy. Pot roast.
No, this is an Italian dish.
Just straight spaghetti.
Lasagna.
No, not a pasta. You would probably have it with a spaghetti and a marinara sauce alongside it.
Breadsticks? Mozzarella
bread?
Sticks?
Right protein. Wrong preparation.
Piccata. No.
Chicken parmesan.
There we go. Oh. Chicken parmesan.
Hey, okay. Weird, serious question with this. If I sit courtside and I pay that amount of money to sit courtside, like I'm assuming Meek Mill did or whatever through his agents or whatever, can I legally stretch my legs out? He's not on the floor. He's off the floor. And can they tell me to not stretch my legs out? Or is that on the ref? Like, ref, you should be running on the floor. I'm just curious. Mm.
Well, I think it's legal. I don't think Meek went back to jail because of this. So I think it's allowed from a strictly legal perspective. But I think it is something you don't think about. He's probably thinking, hey, my feet aren't on the court. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Ain't going to trip a player. You should be allowed to trip a ref if you pay that much money.
I agree.
Well, he didn't pay anything. But
yeah, good point.
He was sitting with Michael Rubin. They're buds, doing some good stuff out there. But I will say, I wanted to make somebody worst of the week a couple weeks ago because they were standing beside courtside because they were talking to somebody, I think, that were in the wrong seat.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their backs turned. So it's like anything goes, really. If you got a courtside seat, you can do whatever.
Yeah, you're rich. You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. I think it's on the refs. Refs got to manage a game. They got to manage 10 men running around, and they got to manage 100 people sitting courtside. It's not easy.
If Meek had done it again, if Meek had tripped him again, could the ref toss him out?
Yeah.
That's the catch to me.
Interesting.
It's like he's
not on
the floor.
The refs do have a little leeway, like to toss a fan, 100%. Right? For like bad behavior.
Yeah.
So I think first trip, you're fine. Second trip.
Yeah, because then you're thinking it's on purpose.
Hey,
yeah.
One time is an accident.
Yeah, okay. Let's get to Five Star Friday. It's back, baby. Yay. Woo-hoo. What is this intro? Okay. Fascinating. Podcast listeners. Trey, do you want to explain what Five Star Friday is to anyone new?
Well, I think the video explains.
Of course.
Five Star Friday, some Fridays during the month. Used to be the first Friday, who knows? Is this the second Friday? A Friday during the month, we'll read five-star reviews from Apple Podcasts because the reviews help us in the rankings, helps people find the show, and we love hearing from the listeners. Our first five-star review comes from Mike Mango. Five stars. What's better than this?
Yeah.
Been a listener since the TBJ days, and whenever I'm playing the podcast around the house and my wife hears these familiar voices, she asks me, Just hanging with your best friends? Other pods have come and gone over the last decade plus, but these guys are just too good to fall out of my feed. Also, love my Beantown Boys shirt. Keep up the good work, gang. Thank you, Mike Mango.
I love that. I love that we're your friends. It reminds me of that, there's that photo that goes around where the guy's sitting in front of like an ice cream, what do you call it, like freezer?
Yeah,
freezer. And it's got like a bunch of like just like people on it, like sharing ice creams, and it's like hanging, and the guy's pointing at it, hanging out with my friends.
Totally.
Trina, this is what a podcast listens like.
You never seen that?
Oh. No, I thought you were going to do the eight white guys at the,
the
golf
baseball
tournament.
Game. That's also us, I guess.
Thanks for sticking around, Mike Mango.
Yeah, decade plus. That's nice.
Mike Mango, that's a nice ice cream flavor.
Yeah, exactly. He's digging in.
All right.
I had a Mike Mango smoothie from Factor. Pretty good, actually. All right, our next five-star review. Five stars for the shout-out. Three-point shooters. I don't know how this ends. This is from Dade182. Like Dave Gahan said once about this podcast, I just can't get enough. Any Depeche Mode fans around here?
Not really.
Next review. Five stars. This one comes from Nick Romo 14. This is a No Bunts review, actually.
Whoa.
Chin music. No Bunts is perfect game content. Love No Dunks writing a separate five-star review for No Bunts. I love the show, and it's punching above its weight to make baseball relatable, fun, and accessible. Lifetime Dodgers fan here. And if hated hearing my peers crap on baseball, this podcast is a service to all, to us all. Some high cheese, blooper reel, basket catch magic.
There you go, Tess.
Great
a
stuff.
No Bunts love.
I'm surprised Nick Romo stuck around, because we dissed the Dodgers plenty on our show.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Throughout this season, but thank you. No, it was a fun season. It was a good baseball season. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, it was entertaining for sure.
It was.
And if you didn't consume every World Series game, the World Series wrap-up pod with Joel McMillan. It's a banger.
That was a banger for sure.
Yeah, it was good.
Thanks.
Next one is from Patton, I suppose. PA77ON. So good, I paid for it, got nothing, and still happy. After listening to the latest iteration of my all-time favorite basketball show/podcast, I decided to take the plunge and invest in an athletic subscription. Thank you very much. One problem. I signed up for it using a different email than my Apple account. So I'm paying full price and still getting ads on my podcasts. But I don't care. These guys are so entertaining that even their ads are good for a larf. Any other podcast, I'd be upset for such a mistake. But No Dunks goes down smooth every time, with or without ads. Plus, the written stuff on The Athletic is pretty good, too.
Yeah, there you go.
There you
go. That's the real reason to get an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks, get one.
Yes, yes. And invest in a password protector, I would say, as well.
I hate when I sign up for stuff with the wrong
Apple address.
Oh, and I got to figure that out. Whoa! I have reset my Apple password billions of times. Patton, I feel bad for you, but thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for subscribing. I'm the same. I'm like, I've still got an @me.com address for my Apple ID.
Yeah.
Back in the @me days.
But Tass is built differently than Patton, because Tass would be like, he'd be on the phone for like 8 hours with Apple, like Tim Cook himself trying to figure out book. Like,
oh,
I love
so
that
fun.
About you. You don't let stuff like that slide.
No, I love customer service. God, one of my favorite things to do.
It's like customer service people are like your version of hanging out with the ice cream freezer. They're like your friends.
Yeah, hold on. I'm on hold.
With
go ahead.
Let me try to get go a deal ahead. With.
Rogers in Canada. I'm trying to settle my old Canadian cell phone bill from 15 years ago. I'm pretty pissed. Overcharged me.
They overcharged us.
Yeah, international texting. Yeah. Cost a lot back in the
day. Getcha. All right, what's the last one?
Final one from Chicken Thigh 5. Dumb and Dumber meets Arch Rivals. Will you like this podcast? If you're looking for your father's casual sports radio, then keep looking. These guys are not basketball fans. They are basketball sickos. The kind of people that know Arch Rivals is better than NBA Jam. Don't be fooled by the fact that the Classic Factory is likely in one of their mother's basement. Or that they talk like they are in a high school locker room. These guys are legit. Just don't listen to it with your grandmother. It'll feel like you took her to watch Dumb and Dumber. But will you enjoy it? I'm saying there's a chance.
Oh, nice. Dumb and Dumber reference.
This one is from my stepbrother.
Oh, Chicken Thigh.
Yeah, my stepbrother Chicken Thigh, as he's known. No, I only know this one is from my stepbrother because we did indeed go see Dumb and Dumber in the theater with my grandmother.
Wow.
Like opening weekend. She loved it. Five star review. No. No. Zero stars. Oh. Negative 5 stars from Grandma Kirby on that one.
That's a shame.
I loved it.
I know.
Great movie.
Like, that's why I wasn't like, I wouldn't have been all that surprised if a grandma out there like Dumb and Dumber. It's not like, it's not crass. You know what I mean? Like, I know there's some Hooters references. There's with the owls. There's some diarrhea stuff. There's,
there's a big diarrhea scene.
Some
yep.
pee away.
There's a big diarrhea.
But, you know. I'm trying to think of anything.
I mean,
like,
Jim Carrey lights his fart at one point.
he also punch the heart out of the chest of Arrival at some point in a fight?
It's the same fantasy sequence.
Oh, that's fantasy. Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't.
So let us know down below if your grandma likes Dumb and Dumber. Some of the grandmas out there probably do.
They probably do. Sure. I gotta ask mine now. I don't know. She's ever seen it.
Text your grandma. Ask her if she likes Dumb and Dumber.
I showed a photo of the van, the dog van, to my kid, thinking that she'd be like, oh yeah,
the dog van is cool.
Tried to get her in. She just didn't care about the dog van. I think she'll be into the movie though. I think.
Right.
Hopefully. Classic.
All right. 5 Star Friday. Get your reviews in on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate everybody that leaves us those 5-star ratings and review. Let's take our final break. And when we come back, we got a lot still. We got Pick'em, we got Tweet of the Night, and we got Rapid Fire Fun. Don't go anywhere.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stream team having some fun, dropping their favorite Dumb and Dumber quotes. And does your grandma enjoy the movie? That's what we need to know. Pierre made a good point. Maybe grandmas don't like it because it makes fun of old people. It's possible. That's why your grandma didn't like it.
Right? She hated that one scene. That was the scene. Not any of the diarrhea scenes.
No, that was the one. Okay. Our pick'em game last night was the Blazers-Pelicans. Pelicans were favored by 6.5. Remember we were like, that's a weird line. They must have known that Lillard wasn't playing, maybe even Nurk. But I took Portland anyway, and of course, not only did they cover, they won outright. I improved to 5-2 here in the month of November, so I'm doing pretty well. A loss for you guys. Task 2-5, Trace 3-4. Lots of games on tonight, Friday night in the association. Where are we going?
We're going to a game on ESPN, Timberwolves-Grizzlies rematch from last year's postseason. And I'm comfortable taking the Timberwolves. I'm not comfortable, but I'm taking them because Anthony Edwards said, this might bring the best out of us, seeing our old rival on the other side of the floor. So I'm taking the 4.5 points that they get. Grizzlies favored by 4.5. You guys, smart move, taking the Grizzlies at home to win by 5 or more.
Yeah, I'm not going to be betting on the Wolves right now, but look, it turned their season around.
At least they got it circled on the calendar.
That's right.
Well, good luck to everybody in tonight's pickup. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night. We can keep this one real quick. At Austin Kent tweeted last night, NBA Street Volume 4 graphics are too real. And here's the clip that he's alluding to from this Hustle Capitans G League game. Just throwing it off the defender's face. This is wild. You know, trying to go cross court. Boing! Doink! So it goes right back to the G League player for the Hustle. And then he cuts his guy going backdoor.
That's a pretty smart back cut.
It's a great backdoor cut after pinging it off the opponent's face. Amazing. There. Yeah, so like NBA Street. You could do that off the hizzy.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was wild.
Were you more of an Arch Rivals fan or an NBA Jam fan?
Yeah, I never played Arch Rivals.
No, no. It's good. I mean, I'm an NBA Jam guy. I got to be honest. Just the reality of it. It's so real where you can jump in the air.
There's an Arch Rivals backstory. 100 feet. There's an Arch Rivals backstory. My stepbrother's in Arch Rivals. What can I say? Look at that.
So cool. So cool.
Here's a weird thing about NBA Street, though. You could play in jeans. Like, that could be your character, would have jeans on.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I mean, that's strange to me.
Yeah. There's a lot more guys showing up to pick up runs playing in sweatpants.
That is true. That is true.
That was never happening 15, 20 years ago. There'd be one. Jason Bedell would be the only guy we knew. It's the only guy we ever knew.
You know why? Obama. Obama always played basketball in sweatpants.
Then,
like, hey,
that was the tipping point.
That was the tipping point.
And then everybody started
doing it. If Barack
can
do it, we can all do it.
I've never done it. Never thought about doing it. Have you?
I don't think so. No. Yeah, no. Well, I just never would even come across my brain.
I'm at the point now that I don't like my shorts being too big. And we have some, like, big shorts from All-Star Weekends where we got, like, free merch and stuff. I put them on. I'm like, this is going to, like, limit my crossover. I'm going to be hitting fabric when I'm going between the legs.
Fabric.
Yeah.
I think maybe we sound a little old. Maybe people are just wearing track pants a lot. So they're just coming in and playing it.
I get it. But, like, I was thinking about it. Somebody said it in that clip I shared the other night from our pickup run. Like, there's a couple guys out here wearing track pants.
Yeah, there were two guys in
pants. It's like,
wow,
yeah, you're right. And you see them more and more.
I'm becoming more and more accepting of an unusual accessory. Like, I've seen a lot of hats recently. Guys showing up in hats.
That's crazy.
I know. I think so, too. But I'm like, hey, you got to keep your hat on your face some way.
Yeah. But, like,
I'm not as hard line on my stance against basketball hats, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I guess.
I'll accept a hat.
I don't know.
I'll accept pants. If you show up in a tie, though, too much.
The hat's just weird to me because, like, if you wear it, you're wearing it forward.
Forward
very strange,
hat is crazy. Still.
Playing baseball, and it's like, isn't it limiting what you can see? And then even backwards, okay, that's a little more tolerable. But like, when I wear a backwards hat, you know, sometimes it like, you know, you put your head back and it like hits your neck, like the brim.
Oh,
it's like
definitely.
Not, it's
yeah.
not comfortable.
As long as it doesn't fall off, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, as long as somebody's not stepping on it, that's what I don't. I don't want to step on a hat. But it's fun if somebody's guarding you with a hat, wearing it forward, knock it off.
Tip it off.
Okay, that's fun.
All right, great tweet of the night from Austin Kett there.
What court was that? That court was amazing.
It was in Mexico, I think.
Ah.
I think that's the
Capitan's.
Yeah, I believe
Mexico City.
I believe so.
Yeah, Adam Silver mentioning Mexico City as a potential expansion city in the future. It's not happening now, but that court.
So we're getting two teams. It's gonna go Seattle, getting the Suns
back,
and
Seattle.
Then what?
Number one,
we're going to Mexico instead of Vegas.
Instead of Vancouver, but yeah, yeah, Vegas is high.
Yeah,
Vancouver.
Deserves hopefully
it
they
too.
Do Cancun, because then it'll be CLT versus CUN.
let him chime in. Is it CUN?
Oh yeah.
Never seen it.
Every time I fly to Cancun, I fly out of Charlotte just because I like seeing it on my ticket.
All right.
It's a 4-hour drive just for the joke.
We gotta wrap this up with some rapid fire fun that's never so rapid. So, Tash, you've got the questions this week. We got the answers.
If the Washington Commanders NFL team, yes, that's what they're called, are up for sale, Kevin Durant said he wants to be part of the ownership group. What team from anywhere on the globe would you like to have an ownership stake in? Skeets.
I would like to purchase outright the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, which is a AAA affiliate, of the Houston Astros. And the reason I am buying the Space Cowboys is because I am changing their name back to the Sugarland Skeeters. And I will be the mascot for the Skeeters. And, you know, it was great. It was a great team name. I was getting ready. I remember to buy a Sugarland Skeeters jersey. It just said Skeeters on it. And instead, they changed it to the Space Cowboys.
Space Cowboys.
Yeah, which I actually don't even mind.
Also a good name.
Yeah, it's kind of got a cool logo too.
Yeah,
but
they
like,
do have a cool logo.
It's because it's the Astros affiliate. Okay. But come on, Sugar Land Skeeters, baby.
Skeeters. Skeeters jersey. Yeah. Coming soon from the City Edition.
Yeah.
You're going to turn him into the, like, what are you going to do as the mascot? What's your, you got a shtag of Savannah Bananas, you know, you're going like crazy.
Yeah, those sting people.
They're mosquitoes, huh?
Yeah, they're mosquitoes.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Well, you thought they were named after me? I thought there would be a
CLTCUN joke coming in there. No,
yeah. All right.
All right, Trey.
I want to buy the Anaheim Ducks. Yeah. First order of business, we're bringing back the Mighty.
Yeah.
Second order of business, we're bringing back the hockey mess that looks like a duck. Mm-hmm. Third order of business, we're hiring Emilio Estevez to coach our team.
Nice.
Fourth order of business, we're getting Adam Banks on our team. Yeah. That cake eater can play for me anytime. Fifth order of business, we're going shopping for suits on Rodeo Boulevard.
Did your grandma like Mighty Ducks?
Love it!
Good movie.
She loved Goldberg, you know? The lockdown goalie.
He's lovable, for sure. JD.
Yeah, well, I'm getting on the same train that LeBron and everybody else is getting on. Ooh. Let's buy a pickleball team.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He's buying a pickle.
They bought one of four expansions. There's going to be 16 teams in Major League Pickleball. We could GoFundMe. We could probably come up with the money. I'm 100% serious. We could buy a pickleball team.
Right.
Let me call it No Dunks. Or No Dinks.
No Dinks.
No Dinks.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
You guys are not excited about this.
Well, there's some controversy with which league. Which pickleball league.
Oh, MLP. No?
You down with MLP?
Yeah.
You know me.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, let's make it happen. Well, what the controversy is, which one's going
there's
to be bigger?
I can't talk to this. I just know there's two leagues and there's fighting for like control of
supremacy,
like rules and yeah, who's gonna be the dominant league and stuff like that.
That's great. That's good for business. Let's stir up some controversy.
Buy one each,
and there will be they will merge just like the NBA.
Yeah, that's nice.
Come on, two teams.
Okay, so no dinks.
No dinks. Pickleball team. Pickleball is weird. There's like you actually play as a team. Like there's mixed doubles, and then sometimes tiebreakers. They'll bring people who weren't even in the match from your team singles and duke it out that way. It's a lot more complicated than just you know a team of people who play pickleball together.
And if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen.
That's right. Yeah, just man. You know what? Stay out of the kitchen
all the time. Even if you can stand the
kitchen. That's right.
Stay out of the kitchen it's a violation. All right.
Next one here. On his way to watch Hawks Bucks, Skeets found out that Trae Young wouldn't be playing. He was obviously disappointed, but was pleasantly surprised when the Hawks won. Name an event you had low hopes for going in, but in the end, it turned out great. Skeets.
Serious answer here. Moving to Atlanta.
Hmm.
When we moved down here for the starters.
Nice one.
What? How many years ago now?
Nine years.
I just had low expectations. I really didn't know what to expect from Atlanta. I remember when we first visited, I was shocked to learn Atlanta wasn't on the water. I was like, in my head for the longest time, I thought Atlanta, Georgia was like on a body of water.
Atlantis. Atlantis threw you off.
Yeah, maybe.
Atlantis
maybe.
City.
Yeah.
Atlantis City.
You know, this is landlocked. And then I was like, oh, I was really worried. I'm like, oh, this is just going to be a classic, you know, concrete jungle. It's going to be like Dallas. Ugh.
Houston.
Dallas. Yeah, but I thought it was going to be like that, and it's not at all. It's quite green. There's lots of parks. No bodies of water, but it's fine. And then, of course, the people you meet here, and I love Atlanta. We've continued to live here. We don't even have to live here. Think about that.
That's true.
With nothing keeping us here except the pickleball courts and the... and the
there's not the enough nature. Pickleball courts,
and
though.
And the ragweed.
What'd you say? There's not
there's
enough.
There's not enough pickleball courts.
the
pollen. The ragweed is keeping us here, yeah.
Twice a year pollen season. Oh, just love it.
I found allergies down here for sure.
So
as,
did I.
As people
so
do. Yeah. It's been fun. If only there was a body of water.
I know.
That would help out.
Wash it all away.
Short drive to the beaches, though. That's nice. Another nice part about Atlanta.
Oh, the airport right there. God, come on. You can go anywhere.
4-hour drive to CLT. Fly anywhere you want.
What's the Atlanta airport code? I know what it is. No
did you know that Chattanooga's airport code is CHA? You didn't, because why would you? But
there you go.
There you go.
They
if you
scooped
were wondering
Charlotte.
What, yeah.
Got him.
Suckers.
So moving to Atlanta, low hopes going in the end, turned out A-OK.
All right, Trey, can you give us an example?
It, the way you say it, I think you're going to say, like, presidents of the United States. Moving to Atlanta, gonna eat me a lot of peaches. got a little crampy. Oh, crampy, crap.
Played basketball too much.
Too much basketball. Ball is unfortunately life right now. Yep. For me, the first time I went hiking as a grown-up, it was brutal. Just brutal. We were in Colorado, Laura and I. We'd just been married for probably a year at this point, and I was like, are you kidding me? Hiking is just walking in nature. This is honestly ridiculous. I saw an old man come over a mountain. He was moving like 10 times faster than me. I was like, just not cut out for hiking. No, I like hiking. It's pretty good. You get to go see a bunch of nature. You get to be outside.
It's nice.
These are all things I didn't know were good until we moved to Atlanta, to be quite honest. You know, I was growing up in cold zones.
Yeah.
So being out in the heat, it's tough. But when you come to all heat, you adapt.
Yeah, seeing we had a friend of ours recently got engaged. Congrats, Steesh. Sending a photo, outdoor photo of him. Beautiful hiking photo. I guess he likes hiking. I would like to see the progression of photos from these chat groups. There's so many more hiking, like so many more like outdoorsy photos now. Like, people just digging it. Mm. I still don't do it a lot, but I like outside. I love it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Love outside. I do like outside.
Hiking is just walking.
It is still just walking outside. But that is true.
There's some uphill walking.
Right. Yes.
Like, you can't say walking.
Yeah, I go for a walk every day in my neighborhood. I'm going up and down hills all the time. Yeah, am I hiking?
But not rocks.
Are your feet touching asphalt or grassfalt?
Asphalt.
That ain't a hike.
No.
Okay.
You got to at least, like, potentially trip over a stick or, like, a root of a tree, you know. Anyway.
Potential trips.
Okay. All right, JD, take us somewhere interesting here.
Oh, somewhere interesting?
Because I did not, yeah.
September 1st, 2005, Parton concert.
Hey.
Wow.
Big fan of Dolly Parton.
Okay.
She had just released an album of covers, and I was worried, very worried, that I wasn't going to hear any hits. She played all the hits. Uh-huh. She played all the covers I loved it all. Wow. It was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. Back on the Budweiser stage, it was called back then. I guess it's, what is it, Molson Park? Whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't lived there in 9 years, so I have no idea what it's called.
Yeah, it sounds like the Molson Amphitheater, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely used to.
Oh, yeah, that. That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it is, was. Dolly Parton, if you ever get a chance, you got to check her out. She's great.
It's called the Budweiser stage.
Is it still called the Budweiser stage?
Must have went back.
Yeah, it went back.
Yeah, it went back.
Well, originally the Molson Amphitheater. Okay, whatever. Anyway, that's fine. It's called the Budweiser stage. Yeah. Last one here. I'm taking the last one from baseball, actually, because it fits very well with the No Dunks brand. Super agent Scott Boras made it his goal at the GM meetings to craft a whole lot of puns. This is real. Just making puns. And the best / worst one involved his free agent, Taiwan Walker. Quote, this is from Boras. Taiwan is on an island, and the only question is, who is willing Taipei? Good. Another Taiwan shout-out, the capital, Taipei. Who's willing Taipei? Taiwan Walker, give us a corny pun, just like Scott Boras. Please, do it. Go wherever you want.
You want a corny pun? That's what you want?
Yeah, give us it.
Can I give you a corny pun joke?
Okay.
All right. What do you get when a truck runs over corn cob in Milwaukee?
Wow.
Creamed Corn City. Nope, Cream City Corn. Should have looked at it. Tried to deliver it.
It's both good. I think both
work. Like
actually. Yeah. I would have bought the first one.
Yeah?
Too.
I think it's. Yeah. Cream City Corn. I guess it both works. Yeah.
The corn got creamed by the truck running it over.
Thank you for explaining. Yeah.
Did you hear the Cavs wanted their starting forward to step on the scale?
No.
They wanted to know how much Dean weighed.
Nice.
Just a good one.
What do you got, JD? Take us home.
You guys know I don't like to fart in front of you.
Yeah.
More of a private tutor.
Oh, I wish you had the drop.
Puns are back.
Pew. Pew.
Well done.
There it is. Rapid fire. Not so rapid. That's the Drop Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us live. The stream team was amazing today. Hit the like button. Subscribe to No Dunks if you haven't already. Share the show. All our podcast listeners, thank you, thank you, thank you. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. We will be back on Monday with some NBA weekend winners and losers. So if you have some that you see over the weekend that you think should be in Monday's show, tweet them in at NoDunksInc. Until Monday. Clipper Bros.
You heard...
You motherfucker.
Well,
you heard it here first.
There you go.
Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
What a weird one.
It was
Friday
weird.
Shows. Man.
That's good. Good, like, weird. Good
just,
weird.
They get strange, don't they?
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I don't have a good one. I wanted to punt it up with you guys. You said Tudor. Remember, Tudor can always be beat by Whitmer.
It's a politics joke. Embrace the weekend, people.